Hello, everyone. Welcome to Slightly Something Else. I'm Yahtzee Croshaw, joined by Marty Slaver, as always.
Hello, everyone.
And also Toffee. And guess what? It's sweaters time of year.
It's sweaters weather.
Look at that vest.
Oh, my God. Toffee's got such a good sweater.
He loves it.
Adorable. Incredible.
A+. I got a sweater, too, actually. I got my Freddy Krueger sweater on.
Amazing. You guys, you need to get matching sweaters with Toffee.
Well, naturally, but maybe for after Christmas.
There you go.
Well, guess what got announced today, apparently?
The Game Award nominations
that I absolutely have not looked up at all. But Marty has, so we're doing that thing we do where you get lovely, fresh reactions of me pissing all over people's chips.
This is great. I'm really excited. Do we first want to... So, for folks who don't know, the Game Awards, that's the big Oscars-esque celebration hosted by Jeff Keighley every year. It is going to be Thursday, December 8th this year in the evening. We're going to be doing a live pre and post show. Not we, as in the two of us. I do not think Yahtzee would be caught dead there. But taking a quick trip down memory lane, going over the last couple winners. Last year was It Takes Two, which was a nice surprise that, like... The triplest of A didn't win. I thought that was nice.
Well, AAA doesn't have much that really stands out these days.
That's true.
I feel like
we'll see when we get to the to the nominations this year.
I feel like, you know, AAA's big, you know, big stride of this year is possibly yet to come. Might be in the last couple of months, because the only like really big thing was Elden Ring. And then that just sort of squatted on top of the big pile of skulls all year.
For about 9 months, it was at the top of the totem pole. Yeah,
scaring off all the big lads.
Yeah,
and did God of War come out soon enough to be eligible for nominations?
It did. Apparently, it got in people's hands soon enough, which will be an interesting thing. We'll talk about with games that didn't make the cut. But besides,
I haven't played any God of War yet? It might be the greatest motherfucking game ever made. I guess I'll find out this afternoon when I start on it. I've been too busy last week with Sonic.
Did you go fast? He goes so fast at certain points. Oh my gosh!
And yet, in many ways, not fast enough.
I think it was really apt of you to coin the term "ghost train ride" for God of War. So I'm excited to hear your thoughts. What do you get
to that? I saw a tweet actually. I saw a tweet from some random person saying that didn't Yahtzee once say that Sony exclusives are just ghost train rides? And then there was just a clip of there's just a screenshot of God of War Ragnarok where it appeared they literally were on a ghost train ride. The characters.
Sometimes it's a ghost boat.
A ghost kayak ride.
Ghost canoe ride.
Well,
all sorts of vehicles. A ghost dog sled.
Well, that's just, it's a small world, isn't it? The boat ride.
Yeah, I guess that's all you are, Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah. So It Takes Two was last year. Year before, The Last of Us Part Two. 2019 was Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice. 2018 was the original God of War. God of War 2018. Breath of the Wild 2017. Overwatch 2016. Witcher 3 2015. And Dragon Age Inquisition 2014, which seems like a game no one talks about. I don't hear anyone talking about.
Yeah, that's an old duck.
The rest of those games definitely seemed like they were like... games in the zeitgeist. Dragon Age Inquisition is strange.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's anything particularly wrong with Dragon Age Inquisition.
But maybe 2014 was like a famously kind of weak year. That was like the first year of the new consoles, and people were still getting... It was the Wii U era, which was just a strange time for everyone. So,
Before we start, I'm just quickly reminding myself of what came out this year. And obviously Elden Ring is going to get a bunch of awards. Obviously God of War is going to get a bunch of awards. But there's always like one or two token indies at the Game Awards, always like there, spread across the
nominations. And there's definitely a couple that stand out this year. Do you want to take a guess before we go into the noms what those standout indies would be?
Well, going over my list here.
They're definitely ones we've talked about on the show.
Yeah. I'm going to say Stray, Neon White, and Tunic.
Yes, Stray, the big winner out of that list. Neon White and Tunic get love. One indie game gets a lot of love that you did not mention that I'm not sure you played. And yeah, that is Immortality.
No, I did not play that.
Okay, so that's...
Help me out. Oh, yeah, that's the...
live action sort of roll through clips.
The Her Story thing.
Yeah.
I just don't... That just doesn't really click for me, that concept. But, you know, to each their own.
Yeah, exactly.
And hey, we've always known the Game Awards just want to reward games for being movies, don't we?
So let's just take the one that's fully live action. Seems easy.
There we go. Should have guessed Stray would be the big winner, since that was basically just moved to the next contextual button prompt of the game.
Also because the rest of the world isn't heartless like you and enjoys being the little cat man.
All right. Let's get to it. Let's get away from speculation.
Perfect. We'll start with some of the smaller but more interesting categories. Performance. Best performance of the year. We had Ashley Birch's Aloy. Do you want to guess, or do you want me just to go over them?
I'll guess I'll take some stabs.
Okay, so performance
of the year. It's so hard to think of any like specific acting jobs.
Yeah, a lot of these feel like it was the main character of the big cinematic AAA game.
Right. So presumably God of War's in there?
Yeah, both Kratos and Atreus.
Oh, well. Who else? Who else did a performance? Possibly the characters in Immortality? Since
The main actress in Immortality, yes. Which might be the first just live-action human to be nominated for this, just like straight up.
That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
If I were insane, and I know the Game Awards are sometimes, I might throw out The Quarry, just because that had a bunch of big-name actors in it.
It did. They did not. They surprisingly didn't really lean towards celebrities. I mean, some of these people are relatively famous, but a game we talked about recently, which I enjoyed the story quite a bit, and you did not, the Amicia from A Plague Tale Requiem was nominated.
Is that all the noms?
And then Ashley Birch from Horizon Forbidden West, Aloy, your favorite.
And that's all. Aloy. Right.
That was all. Just five. Most categories only had five, except for Game of the Year, it had six.
See, performance in video games is a tricky thing, because, you know, most performing in video games is done by voice actors, obviously, and I've always felt voice actors are doing a good job if you just don't really notice.
Yeah, sort of neither seen nor heard. Yeah, I guess, at what point did, was it, kind of the Last of Us era, where the actor kind of got put on a pedestal for their games? Like, rightfully so. Like, you know, it just felt like for a long time, no one really knew who a lot of the voice actors in games were. Like, even Bioshock, I don't know who a lot of the people who did the voices in Bioshock were, but with The Last of Us, Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson became famous-ish.
Well, I think that's the other thing. Like, there's, five or six dudes who just do all the roles. Troy Baker.
Yeah, for a long time. Yeah, Nolan North.
Jennifer Hale just added Bayonetta to her resume.
Yeah, just put another skull on her belt.
There you go.
As Nick mentioned as well, thank you, Nick, we are updating our stretch goal to include Adventures Nigh the next side quest.
Ooh.
So if you enjoyed the last side quest, this is going to be a different crew. Maybe some familiar faces from side quest, maybe some familiar faces from Adventures Nigh proper, but a different side quest that would most likely be slotted before season 3, which you guys have wonderfully funded, and we will be filming in Milwaukee in a few months.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much.
Well, blimey. We've already reached our stretch goal target.
We just have to keep stretching.
Now we just have to figure out what the fuck they are.
Keep stretching.
You're a lot of good sports, Chad, for keeping giving us money for things we haven't even figured out yet.
Hey, it's going to be a live game night in Milwaukee with Milwaukee-centric games. I don't. That last part's not true. It'll probably
Milwaukee-centric games.
Yeah.
Well, I'm interested to hear what you come up with for this.
There's an axe. There's a bar where you can throw axes in Milwaukee. Do you want to throw axes?
So we'll be playing Heimdall 1, which had an axe throwing minigame.
There you go. Or you'll be so inspired by God of War Ragnarok that you'll want to be doing that.
Is there a lot of axe throwing in that?
There is. If you remember God of War 2018, a lot of it is you throwing your axe and summoning it back at you.
I am pretty much expecting it to just be more of that.
But 4 years later.
God of War 2018, but more of it.
2018 plus 4. We had best multiplayer game, which I don't think you don't really care about, do you?
I'm just going off my list of things I reviewed, so I probably didn't.
You didn't review most of these. Splatoon 3 and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. I don't know if reviewed that last one.
Well, I played it briefly in single player and then decided, nope.
Yeah. I don't know. Same multiplayer. The multiplayer awards, and then they have an ongoing multiplayer, like older games that still get things. So those aren't super
important. Splatoon 3 obviously gets nominated for that because that's, you know, anytime Nintendo throws their hat in a ring like that, they just instantly get grandfathered in.
There's one category going on that should ostensibly just be the Nintendo category because all five nominees are Nintendo. So
oh boy, I'll try and guess which one it is when it comes up.
I think when you get to it, you'll probably be able to hit it. The next big one was art direction, best art direction. This would be
Elden Ring.
Correct.
Straight away.
Yeah. So just to let you know, right off the bat, God of War had the most nominations with 10. Elden Ring and Horizon were both in second place with 7.
Right. Right. So I was assuming God of War's in art direction as well.
God of War is in our direction.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Okay. So this is one of those candidates where they'll probably chuck a token indie in there.
Two token indies. One we've already mentioned, one we have definitely not mentioned. But let's one see. You covered it recently.
I'm going to say Tunic for best art direction.
Not Tunic. No, Stray.
Well, Tunic fucking well deserves it more than Stray.
Completely agree. And the second indie also has probably the grossest art of the year.
The grossest art?
Yeah.
Pie.
No. Another game you reviewed quite recently that had a lot of meat, a lot of goop. Do you remember playing a goopy meat game recently?
Proteus? Scorn?
Scorn.
Oh, Scorn.
People love the goopy meat.
Well, there's not much else going for that one. So
no,
I'm going to give it art direction, if nothing else.
Yeah, it's got Goop of the Year, which is nice. Score in music.
Well, obviously God of War as well, because all the AAA stuff puts all the money into getting the big orchestral, grand orchestral soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what genuinely deserves it? I seem to remember Neon White had pretty good music.
So do I. I'm kind of bummed at the lack of nominations that Neon White got outside of like indie.
Right.
Like indie categories.
Right. Soundtrack, I'm going to say Elden Ring as well.
Elden Ring, always a safe one.
Just the big lads.
Yeah.
Anything doesn't show up anywhere else?
Plague Tale we already had. Two that don't show up anywhere else. Metal Hellsinger, which kind of makes sense because it was built around the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. If I'd spotted that on the list, I'd probably have thrown that out.
Yeah, and then I think a lot of people were happy and surprised that Xenoblade Chronicles 3, which I don't think either of us played, did we?
I didn't review that. So that's weirdly random. I hadn't heard it had a particularly standout soundtrack.
Yeah, it's by Yasunori Mitsuda, who's like a pretty famous composer, and I think this was a long time coming that Xenoblade Chronicles fans feel like the series has always been snubbed, and so finally it's getting its recognition, perhaps too much recognition.
Okay,
as we'll see. Audio design, a lot of the same things, Elden Ring and God of War.
Yeah, these are all like the bullshit stuff that just gives them an excuse to give like multiple awards to the same motherfucking dudes.
And they threw in Gran Turismo there because people like the cars. Best narrative.
Okay. Well, God of War, obviously.
Yep.
Because it's a ghost train ride, and that's that's the only thing it does.
Chugga-chugga.
Stray?
No, surprisingly.
No Stray. Well, that's thrown me for a loop. Okay. Elden Ring, probably?
Yeah. Yes, which is baffling to me because I love Elden Ring, but like, whoa, what are we doing here? I'm like, what?
It's immersion storytelling, and you know, they put it in there because it's the big thing. But I don't think they put it in with the full appreciation for the narrative style that it's doing. It's just like, yeah, hey, people seem to like it.
Yeah, it is funny because I feel like people nominated it because almost of the like YouTube videos breaking down what the story is, as opposed to like you said, it does, you know, storytelling through emergent gameplay, which is, you know,
yeah,
genuinely impressive.
Immersion storytelling. I coined that term in Extra Punctuation, and I've recently gained more confidence in it because someone wrote an essay about it.
There you go.
And I got linked to it on Twitter. No ideas if it was a big person writing an essay, but, you know, I'll take the wins I can get.
When you first said that, I was thinking like a literally large person. Like it was like a 7-footer who wrote that essay. Like just a real, real thick guy.
All right, best narrative. All right, well, going by previous patterns, they usually throw a JRPG in there because, you know, JRPGs.
A lot of words.
So, am I guessing right there? Is there a token JRPG nom?
There's not, no. There's an aforementioned token indie with Immortality, which, again, Immortality is the story, so that makes sense. And then, obviously, a story you and I disagreed on in A Plague Tale Requiem.
Okay.
The audience... they love the rats. They it's love the history. Rats, and they love the boy who uses the rats to kill the people. They love it.
Honestly, I'm surprised they snubbed Horizon on that. Not that it deserved it, but it feels like the sort
no, Horizon is the fifth nomination.
Oh, I thought we were done. Well, yeah. Simultaneously, Egg and Smug on my face.
It's just a nice little combo. Okay, now we get to indie game. Indie game.
Best indie game. Okay, well, Tunic, Stray, what was the other one? Neon White.
Yep, you're doing good.
Okay, what else had a profile? Did I review them all?
One I think you didn't review early in the year, I think, actually, which was probably one of the bigger games of the year you didn't review. And then one I'm pretty sure you did review, like, 2 months ago.
Right. Sifu?
Yeah. You didn't review that one, right?
No, I did.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I reviewed a bit after the fact during the drought season.
Okay. Maybe that's the reason. Yeah, Sifu. And then one you reviewed relatively recently. I think it came out in like September.
Okay. September, eh?
Well, I think September.
That would be... Okay, there's a few candidates. I'm going to say Cult of the Lamb?
Yes. I don't think that.
That was a stab in the dark.
Oh, that also wasn't September. That was June. I do not know how time works. Oh, no, it was August. Yeah, Cult of the Lamb, I don't know. It isn't... Didn't do it for me. I think there were better games.
Well, it was just Binding of Isaac with tacked on crafting survival elements.
That's true, yeah. This also goes to, I guess we talked about now, one of the major snubs, nothing for Tinykin. And I thought Tinykin, delightful. I thought that should have been nominated for something. I had such a great time with Tinykin.
I played it, I didn't finish it, I didn't have that much enthusiasm for it.
Genuine hater.
I mean...
even Jack likes it.
Well, considering the millions of indie games that get snubbed at this thing, surprised you'd pick on that one in particular.
That just felt, I don't know, that was like the one that stuck with me. And I was talking over the weekend with, I think, both Frost and Amy were talking about how much they liked it. And it feels like that's like escapist-wise, one of the most beloved indies of the year. At least the most was played.
I don't know what to tell you, man. Just doesn't seem to have... maybe you just can't get past the Pikmin comparisons.
That is true. It is very much a one-to-one. Then there was also debut indie game, which Neon White, Stray, and Tunic all fell under, which is kind of funny because Neon White is game of a studio, but different.
That's a big fat pair of bollocks because that was Ben Esposito's baby.
He's done several games beforehand.
Yeah, he's done tons of shit.
He made
Donut County. He made that other one.
Yeah, he worked on the Unfinished Swan.
Yeah,
I guess it's just the studio he founded, so technically new. And then two games we have not mentioned so far that I'm not sure. One you have played, because I think one you were talking about recently is an indie game. Maybe you're like underappreciated games of the year. I think you might have brought it up.
Debut indie games.
This was a story focused game.
Uh-huh. Did I ZP it? Do you know?
I don't know if you ZP'd it. We definitely talked about it in a few weeks ago when we did.
We talked about a whole bunch of shit.
We did.
Yeah. Citizen Sleeper.
No, I always associate it with Citizen Sleeper though. Right. For some reason, because there's two games. I do not think you. I looked up the tag on Escapist, and you do not have it. We've only had one article on it.
Okay. Well, I've completely forgotten all the things I talked about in that video, so I guess you better tell me.
Norco. Did you you played Norco, right?
Yeah, I did play Norco, and I mostly forgot about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a I guess it was a debut game, yeah.
Apparently, yeah. And then the game that's probably like the surprise hit of the year was Vampire Survivors.
That was a surprise hit, because I heard that, and that feels like an idle game almost.
Yeah, but it really really picked up steam, and I think it's only going to get bigger because it just came to consoles like last week on Game Pass, so yeah. I think even more people are going to play it.
I heard Jim Stephanie Sterling was doing some writing for it.
Oh, nice. Does that game have writing?
Apparently.
I haven't played the game yet. I just thought it's just like, well,
apparently they got him on. Apparently they got him on to do the bestiary entries.
Oh, that's cool. Well, very neat.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of tweets about it, so apparently that went down pretty well.
More of a reason for folks to check it out. And then a VR AR game. Did you play literally anything in VR this year?
I toyed with it. Nothing that I felt moved to full-on review.
Yeah. So I'll just read these out because I haven't played any of them. Red Matter 2, Moss Book 2, which I played the first Moss, which was nice. But
yeah, I played the first Moss. Mouse in the forest. I have played Red Matter 2, actually. I played it for a bit. That's the adventure game, right? In space.
I don't know what it is. I just have its name down. I literally don't know what it is.
Pretty sure I played that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bone Lab, which I know is beloved.
I should have thought of that. I did play that for a bit. Didn't get very far. Didn't really get what I was supposed to do in it.
There you go. After the Fall. Also don't know what that is. Seems post-apocalyptic of some sort.
I think it's a generic shooter.
Generic shooter, perfect. And then Among Us VR, which I saw clips of over the weekend. Seems like a legitimate horror game.
Didn't that just come out?
I'm not sure when it came out. Maybe very recently. I just saw some clips of it, though, and it looks very... Oh, yeah, literally November 10th. So maybe folks had it early? Because I think the voting was up at a certain time. Because we're going to say, like, God of War just came out. But I think the critics who vote were able to have it, like, a couple weeks ago. So, Among Us in VR looks genuinely kind of scary, especially like the lights are going out and these things are chasing you. It like makes it look like a horror game, which I'm interested to try. Nick likes his spooky games, so I want Nick to have to play Among Us in VR.
You know what needs a VR version? It might actually have one, but I haven't checked.
What's that?
Iron Lung. I finally got around to playing that last weekend.
I don't think I know what Iron Lung is.
Iron Lung. It's a first-person concept horror, short concept horror game. It's like $2 on Steam. You're a prisoner in a submarine that's been like welded shut, and you there's no windows, and you can only view the outside by taking like still photographs that take like 3 seconds to develop, black and white grainy still photographs.
Oh, that sounds spooky.
And you got to use a map and coordinates to navigate your way around claustrophobic caverns, taking pictures of things. And there's probably a horrible monster chasing you. And it's got like a, you know, like a lot of concept horror games, it ends on a jump scare, but it's a jump scare that kind of worked for me. I was like, oh, you got me, game.
Is it a short little thing?
Yeah, it's really short. Like I said, you can pick it up for $2.
Sounds wonderful. It sounds terrifying. So, great. Big fan of both.
Yeah, I'd recommend it. Check it out.
Then we get into the genres where we start making fun of what things are what. Action game. Do you want me to just go over these? Because there's no logic to...
Yeah, there's no logic to this sort of thing. This is another one of those just make stuff up so we can throw more awards at this.
Yeah, there's one egregious example of this that'll be coming up soon. So for action games, Bayonetta 3, which I think this is Bayonetta's only nomination.
Well, that's a character action game.
There you go. That does have action. That's like, of these games, that's the one I'd be like, yeah, it's definitely an action game. Which that's going to be your ZP later this week, correct?
Yep, that's Wednesday.
Exciting.
Sonic Frontiers next week and God of War after that, no doubt at the point when everyone stops caring.
Some meaty games. So we had Bayo 3, Modern Warfare 2, Neon White, very just extreme action game, Sifu, and then the Ninja Turtles game.
See, I could sort of read this as like best primary combat loop game.
Yeah.
Which I That's guess
not,
sort of
Neon
works.
White. Oh man, I do not think of Neon White as an action game. I don't know what I think
it's,
of it as.
It's not really a combat game. It has a very strong primary loop.
So yeah.
I would say that makes sense to me.
Neon White almost feels like a puzzle game to me if I had to like assign one genre.
When I think of action game, I think of primary loop focused game design, and I'd say Neon White probably qualifies pretty well. It is pretty pulse pounding, trying to get to the exits in time.
Yeah.
I ain't got a problem with Neon White being nominated there.
No, no, neither do I. Also because there's no like shooter, there's no other category that where it really makes sense.
Well, quite.
Everyone's favorite category, action adventure.
Oh, Christ. God of War, God of War, God of War, God of War, God of War.
All action adventure games, actually.
Elden Ring.
Elden Ring, not, because Elden Ring is considered a role-playing game.
Fuck you, Game Awards. You so, arbitrary shitheads.
God of War, Plague Tale, and Horizon representing the AAAs, and then Stray and Tunic.
Representing
the indies. And then in the aforementioned RPG category, Elden Ring, Live Alive, Pokemon Legends, Arceus, which I refuse to believe was this year. I refuse, even though it was January. It just seems like 10,000 years ago.
So it was.
Triangle Strategy and Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Okay.
Elden Ring should wipe the floor with those. Right?
Elden Ring and Live Alive going head-to-head in a single category.
Finally. And the Pokemon game that came out like, 20 years ago.
It's
mind.
Like putting an ant in a matchbox with a spider.
And then this is the category that just really kind of threw me for a loop. Fighting game. DNF Duel. Sifu, don't know what it is.
Sifu.
Sifu is in fighting game, but it was also an action game. You can't be in both.
Well, action doesn't necessarily imply fighting.
Yeah, but you can't be in both categories. Just you could only be in one category. Right?
Well, take it to tell the Game Awards. It's their show.
But every other game here is multiplayer. So you have Multiversus, King of Fighters, JoJo. Sifu's not multiplayer. Sifu's... It's insane to me.
But it is undeniably a fighting game.
Would the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game be that?
Yes.
Because you're just... Oh. No, fighting games are two people... punching each other.
No, that's Sifu a one-on-one fighting game. And we call them that's one-on-one fighting games to, in order to, you know, clarify that it's not just a fighting game.
No, fighting games have to be multiplayer.
No, they
can't have a single-player fighting game. Yes,
no,
you,
they
yes,
don't.
You, it's a brawler if it's not.
Is Streets of Rage a fighting game?
No, it's a brawler. Action game.
Well, this is a semantic argument.
I'm not even trying to be like an asshole. I just think of fighting games as like competitive fighting games.
I would
like,
consider
Sifu's not competitive.
I would say Brawler is a subset of the larger set of fighting games. Another subset of which would be one-on-one fighting games.
Oh man, I think of Brawler as a subset of action games. I think of fighting just as its own thing. And then fighting games, you have fighting games.
Well, action is even higher. Action is that's why it's bullshit that they've all got distinct categories.
I think we all agree that it's bullshit. So
action is just the even higher umbrella term that also goes into action adventure and like 9,000 other things.
Yeah. It's like I don't know, like we've talked in the past of like game genres need new names.
Yes.
But I feel like game genres are even more arbitrary than like at least when it comes to like movies or something. Like you could generally agree something's a horror movie or a comedy or an action movie, but with this it's just like what the fuck. Like
I
it just feels like we came up with these genre names when the medium was in its influence or infancy and we're just like, well, let's just keep going.
I would argue that Sifu is focused on the meat and potatoes of fighting, as in timing, deciding when to block and parry, and meeting countering attacks with other specific attacks. It is entirely focused on the process of fighting.
Isn't every FromSoft game the same thing?
Yes.
Oh no! Don't tell me Elden Ring's your favorite fighting game.
We've already established this is all bullshit.
It is all bullshit. It's all bullshit, and we're all gonna die soon. And this is terrible.
I think fighting implies bare fists.
Okay. Do you think the Batman games are fighting? Like the good Batman games?
Oh, for God's sake! No, they're action adventure. There's more to it than just fighting.
This is true. Okay. That's fine.
Although I guess
what would you call Gotham Knights? Also, Gotham Knights, zero nominations, Yahtzee. How do you feel?
Well,
about
that? There's a surprise. There's a shocking snub. No awards for the game that was a pile of shit that nobody liked.
Hey, maybe this industry will be all right after all. It zigged in the just most anticipated game of next year. I'm just going in order they rat them out. So, yeah, what do you think are the five most hyped games of next year?
Ever the bullshittiest of the bullshitty awards.
Also, several of these were also the most hyped games of 2022 one year ago.
Hang on, I need to remind myself of what's been announced for next year. 2023. Boom. La 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 la. Hogwarts Legacy?
Yes.
Ha 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 ha. Just scrolling down here. Resident Evil 4 remake?
Correct.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
The new Assassin's Creed, maybe?
No.
Okay. Everyone's sick of their shit.
Everyone is sick of their shit. The next three games, two are in beloved franchises, and one is from a beloved developer. And the one from a beloved developer was supposed to release 3 days ago.
Hmm. I'm not entirely sure.
If you remember, almost 2 years ago, a flag was planted in the sand for a game to come out on 11/11/22.
Guess I wasn't paying attention when that happened.
That was Starfield.
Oh.
And yeah. Then the games in beloved franchises are Final Fantasy 16 and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Okay, probably wouldn't have guessed those. No noms for Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League then.
Maybe Gotham Knights took all the wind out of their sails. There's also been a lot of hullabaloo about trouble at Rocksteady, the developer. Yeah. The founders left, and that game they haven't made a game in almost a decade, which isn't great.
Wait, Rocksteady Games isn't Rocksteady.
Beautiful.
I was wondering if Callisto Protocol would come up, but then I suddenly remembered that's later this year.
So that's on the list of games that just haven't been released yet. So yeah, games that will just be forgotten.
Yeah.
Which still, I guess it's just that's how this thing works.
It still feels like the really big hits have been yet to come this year.
Yeah. We had a new category, Best Adaptation, which is just like best movie or TV show based on a game. Had some bad nominees like The Cuphead Show and Uncharted, the second Sonic movie, and then Arcane and Cyberpunk Edgerunners, which I think one of those two would win because they're both very good.
I'm gonna say Edgerunners would be my pick. We haven't really talked about our picks for winners here, have we?
We haven't, no. We could do that. We'll do that for the last couple, because we have Game Direction and Game of the Year, which are the two biggies.
Ugh, Game Direction. Another bullshit thing.
Category, yeah. Best Family Game. This was the Nintendo category. Four first-party Nintendo games and one game that is also on the Switch.
Well, I'm assuming Bayonetta 3 isn't on there.
Bayonetta 3 is not, although there is the Naive Angel mode, where I think you could play it without showing the hoo-has to your children.
Yeah, I noticed that. I saw it when I was starting the game, and I was like, so do we just skip straight to the end? Is that how that works?
Just everyone. It's just Bayonetta and the antagonist having a nice little coffee.
I mean, how could they get away from? I mean, I assume they did the pole dancing stuff without the clothes flying off, but it's still pole dancing.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah, Splatoon 3, obviously. Best for
correct
nominations.
Yeah.
What else?
A game you reviewed very recently.
Oh, hang on.
I mean, extremely recently.
Oh, Mario and Rabbids.
Correct.
Yeah. What else was
a game from the spring that I adored, and again, I think you missed, although I was wrong about Sifu.
Was it Kirby?
It was Kirby.
Yeah, I didn't.
When are you gonna go back and do the Kirby review?
Probably never. Pokemon. Was that the other one?
No. So Pokemon. The old Pokemon. New Pokemon missed the cutoff because there's a Pokemon game comes out at the end of the week. But No, not old Pokemon. Nintendo Switch Sports. With I don't know, whatever.
Okay.
And then Lego Skywalker Saga.
Oh, right. Yeah. Lego. Yeah. Always a safe bet.
I'm not gonna go over the mobile ones because Marvel Snap got nominated. Marvel Snap will win. Have you played Marvel Snap, Yahtzee?
Nope. Still not.
Are you going to play Marvel Snap?
Probably not.
You're missing out on one of the 10 best games of the year.
Well, that's my life hanging in ruins.
I'm going to skip all 6 esports categories because neither of us understand how those work.
Nope.
Correct. So for our last pick 2, game direction. 5 games that are best game direction.
See, this can mean a few things. Usually... they focus on games that have like a strong sort of auteur sort of sense to it.
Mm-hmm.
I
would say one of these games have a strong auteur sense to it.
Hmm.
To break it down, I will say it's 3 AAA games and 2 indie games.
Okay. I'm going to say Stray is in this one.
Correct. One of the indies.
Okay. And the other one would be... Tunic.
No.
Shit.
Yeah.
Alright, best direction.
Think of it as literal direction, like
as in going down a linear path.
No, literal direction as in like think of like the Oscars giving best direction. That would be our live action friend, Immortality.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say Horizon Forbidden West just because there's a direction in the title.
That is literal. That is one of the 3 AAAs. Yeah.
Hey. What else? Plague Tale?
No, Plague Tale got snubbed. Not snubbed, but just didn't make it. So the other two were the other 2 big games that we've mentioned in almost every category
Elden
so
Ring,
far. Yep.
God of War.
Yep.
Okay.
So those will be it. Of those, what do you think will win best direction?
I am going to say they're going to give that to Elden Ring because they're going to give everything else to God of War.
Interesting. So you think they're going to split the vote and be able to be like, here you go, Miyazaki, enjoy your best direction while we give God of War best game of the year.
Yeah, because there's actually a name attached to Elden Ring.
That's true.
Who made God of War?
And then moving on to game of the year.
Don't move on. Answer the question. Who made God of War? Give me a name.
Sony Santa Monica.
Yes.
Oh, Eric Williams, I believe.
Who the fuck's that?
God of War Ragnarok game director. I believe it's Eric Williams.
And that's why it's not
Eric Williams.
Win.
Yeah.
And that's why it's not going to win Best Direction.
I knew who it was.
Yeah.
Well, Corey Barlog did not make this one. Also, Corey Balrog is a monster in the minds of Moria. That's not a real person, Chad.
All right then.
I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be Immortality.
Best Direction?
No. Best Direction. That had so many cameras.
They're going to give Best Narrative to that.
I hope they do. I think it's going to be Best Direction.
Best Performance, probably a given for Immortality. Because it's the only one that incorporates both face and voice.
This is true. I hope it's Immortality. And then we go to Game of the Year. It has 4... of the same nominees.
Elden Ring, God of War. Yes. What were the other ones?
Horizon.
Horizon.
And the cat game.
And Stray.
Immortality not nominated for Game of the Year.
Oh my goodness. Do they have a token indie in there?
Stray is the token indie. Oh, okay. And so there's two more AAA games. One is Weeby, and neither of us played, and is aforementioned. That's the Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Oh, okay.
And then one is a game that we vehemently disagreed on a few weeks ago.
Plague Tale.
That involves if you would kill your brother. Yeah. Yes. So the six are Plague Tale, Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Well, God of War didn't come out soon enough, so it's going to be Elden Ring for that one as well.
Okay.
If they give it to God of War, everyone's going to call bullshit because that was far too late into the running. Elden Ring has been like living rent-free in our heads for the whole year. So, you know, by the strict definition of the phrase, it certainly is game of 2022.
I do think Elden Ring is going to win. And Elden Ring would probably be my pick for game of the year.
Yeah.
That being said, the God of War thing, it might have the new car smell to it. This would probably be the game that all of the voters finished like 2 days before they cast their votes.
Yeah, but they don't want to be full victim to like the retrospective thing where in a few months time people go, oh wait a minute, once everyone's played it, everyone's gonna, oh wait, actually it kind of sucks.
Yeah,
so you know, and it's hard to predict where the wind will blow like immediately after something's released. So I think they're going to avoid it for that reason. They're going to go.
I do agree with you. I was mostly devil's advocating there. And like, it's been what, 9 months or so since Elden Ring. And I don't feel like there's been a critical backlash to it. I think everyone's kind of like, yeah, that game was like really fucking good. Whereas, you know, they probably cast these votes before reviews even went out for Elden Ring or for God of War. So like, they didn't even know like what the general consensus would be. And like, sure enough, the general consensus was it scored very high and everyone who's playing it seems to enjoy it in some modicum, even though so far to me it just seems like more God of War. Okay.
Because they're gonna give it to Elden Ring, they're gonna give pretty much everything else to God of War, I think.
You think God of War is so, wait, you think Game of the Year is going to be Elden Ring, and do you think game direction will be God of War, or do you think Elden Ring will win both?
I think that'll still be Elden Ring. I think all the other bullshit stuff will be God of War, like best action adventure
game. Best music, all that stuff. I think it's gonna be Elden Ring as well. I agree.
Okay.
Going over a couple snubs before we move into chat. What's that? I mean, it's been 40 minutes before the chat, right? Well, I just wanted to... So I have a couple of... So snubs. Games that came out this year that just didn't get nominated that, I cannot believe came out this year. Dying Light 2. Refuse to believe Dying Light 2 came out this year. Refuse.
Well, I guess it was hard to get that to stand out against shit with much more idiosyncratic theming.
Dying Light
2 really felt like, you know, AAA game, the game. It's a zombie apocalypse where you're stealth action adventure open world. And there's nothing about it that stands out.
And I wouldn't have nominated it for anything. But Casey in the chat said, did Sifu get nominated for anything? Yes, a bunch of nominees. Sifu got nominated for both action game and fighting game. And go back like 20 minutes where we argue whether it's a fighting game or not.
Yeah, Casey. Watch the VODs like everyone else, KZ. Then you can barge in here and.
Oh no, Sigmar!
Just because you're a contributor. Jeez,
we're
man.
We're tearing this party apart.
Read the room.
What else? Mentioned Gotham Knights. No Babylon's Fall. How do you feel about that?
Well, sarcastically, I'm very surprised.
Saints Row, to the surprise of no one. No. Hardship Space Breaker. That was a game you really liked. Or Hard Space Shipbreaker. I don't know what the game is called.
I liked it, but it's not award material.
Okay. That felt like a game that a lot of people liked, and I thought it'd at least get a nomination somewhere for, like,
ship. You know what did feel like award bait? And has been snubbed. Trek to Yomi.
Yeah, I just don't think that had like I really didn't enjoy it, which is like I should have loved everything about it, but
in the long run, it just wasn't very good. But if anything would have been angling for an art direction nom, it was that.
Yeah, because that game sort of hung its hat on art direction.
Yeah.
And then I mentioned Tinykin. Vampire Survivors felt like a game that was really talked about that didn't.
They never back pixel art games at the Game Awards.
Interesting. That's actually kind of true.
Because they're all in bed with the graphics hardware people, and they've got to push the lie that games have to have.
Who's they? This is just a bunch of critics.
The system, man.
There's no system. Now you're being
mainstream gaming media has been in bed with the publishers for decades, man.
That's not true at all. That's you sound like an internet boy. That's what you sound like. You sound like a boy on the internet.
I am nothing if not an internet boy.
Immortality wasn't nominated for Game of the Year, even though it was nominated for almost everything, which including direction, which just seems strange
for it
to
be Game of the Year, it would need to be a game first. Oh,
internet boy's back. Internet boy is back. And then also, I'm assuming this is going to be snubbed because of timing. But Sonic Frontiers.
Well, it's that all because it's actually kind of shit.
That's clearly not true. It's got to be timing. It's got to be timing, right? It's got to be timing.
Well, wait for my review next week.
Wait for my review. 10 out of 10, 10 thumbs up. Go and buy it on your new graphics card sponsored NVIDIA.
What is wrong with you, serious?
One game that is okay. So going over stuff that hasn't come out yet that will be snubbed. High on Life, which is the game by the guy.
Yes, Justin Roiland's game. Yep, with Guns
that talk. Doesn't come out for like another month. So maybe that could be nominated for a story or something.
Kind of understandably snubbed that one.
Yeah. Marvel's Midnight Suns. That's the upcoming the game by the XCOM folks.
Yeah, Callisto Protocol.
Callisto Protocol, Pokemon, and the most interesting, because reviews came out today and it got fucking tens across the board, was Pentiment, and that's the that's the game from Obsidian and Josh Sawyer, sort of like the small Disco Elysium-esque murder mystery.
I played that for a while. It was kind of interesting, but I guess I just you know couldn't stick with it because I have to play bigger titles. And
yeah,
I wasn't that interested that I felt like I really wanted to get back to it in my spare time. Mm.
I'm really excited to play it. It hits Game Pass, I believe, tomorrow. A couple of people I know who finished it really, really adored it. So I'm interested.
Well, that's another one that could have been a shoe-in for Best Art Direction.
Best Story, prior Narrative or something. That just definitely seems like it was not in people's hands, which, again, maybe the whole thing is kind of dumb. If we're doing Game of the Year, then the games that come out in the last 2 months of the year aren't eligible because that's the game of the 10 months.
Yeah.
By the time next year comes around, no one's gonna be thinking about Pentiment a year from now. Yeah.
All right. Super chat. Shall we just super chat then?
I think so.
We might be running a wee bit behind.
Let's get those chitty chats in.
I gotta take this dog for a walk.
Is that a euphemism or is that an actual dog?
Okay, I'm starting on the monetization list. So as always, stop me if I miss any super chat. Member chats.
I'll try my hardest.
Fred E. gives $4.99 and says, I'm 3/4 of the way through my first draft of my first novel, gladly and painfully learning how rough a first draft is. Thanks both for writing advice. Yeah, of course it's rough. It's a first draft. That's what first drafts are for.
Have you ever heard the term sloppy copy for a first draft?
Can't say I have.
Okay, I use that a lot and people give me a weird look when I do.
Because, you just have to... You know, you're obviously going to be feeling bad as you write the first draft because it's going to be shit. You're going to be looking over and go, God, this shit that I'm writing is shit. That's why you don't show it to anyone. That's what the second draft's for. You can go over it and make it less shit once you've figured out where it's going and what it's about. So, hang in there.
Yeah. Also, rewriting is always a really... rewriting is probably my favorite part of writing.
Yeah, I'm most of the way through the draft for We'll Leave the Galaxy for Good, and honestly, I kind of hate how it's turning out, so I'm really looking forward to the second draft phase of this one. Karuta Cowboy, 70 Zaras, I think that's the South African one, to say, I think the fun of award shows comes from discussing them. Making jokes about the bad choices and discussing stroke predicting what will eventually win is always enjoyable to me. Yeah, I think the award shows serve a purpose in much the way the Academy Awards do. But films also have shit like the Cannes Film Festival where, people actually do take it seriously. And I feel like video games needs more of that kind of thing.
Yeah, do we have the BAFTAs or the GDC awards, I guess?
Yeah, I guess GDC's, because it's more developer-focused, is a little more legit.
Yeah. Yeah, but I also agree that the best part of these is spoofing and goofing, and like, don't take any of this seriously. Like, don't get actually mad at these awards. Who gives a shit?
We need, as I say, like the equivalent of the Cannes Film Festival, where we have just this thing for high level, you know, cutting edge game design focused stuff, narrative focused stuff, and people just like work on things for years specifically to show them at this specific festival.
Yeah, I think one of the tough things is any film critic can sit in a movie and give an educated review of a movie, but like, there's just some games that like, there's some genres you and I like aren't equipped to talk about. Like, you and I aren't equipped to talk about fucking MOBAs or multiplayer stuff. Like,
well,
it's just not in our purview. And I think the people who probably are super equipped are people I probably wouldn't care about hearing their thoughts on narrative. Or
so there needs to be
a thing,
different so. Festival stroke award ceremony for every niche of gaming. There needs to be one for the like the live service liking people, one for people who like narrative focused, primary loop focused design like me.
Yeah.
And we need one
for pretentious idiots like me.
One for pretentious fuckwits. One for publisher fuckwits, where they just hand out money, hand out awards to the richest cunts in the room.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. The Nintendo Awards, think about that.
Yeah, just Nintendo gives itself a lot of prizes and then sits in a room by itself playing with one of those bat and balls on a string.
I think that sounds wonderful. Oh no, but which award show does Sifu go to?
Oh no.
Oh no.
Okay. Dylan Cunt with $4.99 US says, I feel like Elden Ring has this year in the bag, God of War being the major competition despite just meeting the deadline by a week or two. Yeah, we've been over that.
I'd be pretty shocked if Elden Ring didn't win. Also, like, God of War won, the God of War 2018 won, and unless God of War 2 does something crazy in its back half, its first half just feels like more God of War.
I'm gonna say,
although I guess you could say the same thing about Elden Ring.
I'm gonna say, if it's a choice between for Game of the Year between something that's entirely new like Elden Ring or a sequel, then they're going to go for the entirely new thing, because I feel like going for the sequel feels less legit to these sorts of people.
Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Anyway, Dylan Cunt then comes back with another $4.99 and says, also, I recently picked up a Valve Index. Any VR games you'd recommend besides Half-Life Alyx?
That's totally a you question. I'm not a big VR person.
Well, Boneworks went down pretty well. Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners isn't too bad. Depends on the sort of things you like, I suppose. Lots of people like, what's it called? Beat Saber. And it's good exercise as well.
Yeah.
And if you like getting exercises and rhythm games, there's also a game called Ragnar Rock, which is like Beat Saber, but for like Viking metal, which I tend to prefer sometimes.
Yeah, I think, do you think that might be one of the problems with VR, is that if someone's like, I just got a Switch, what should I play? Everyone's like, oh, Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey and Mario Kart and Smash. Mm. Whereas with VR, it's kind of this like weird stumbling block of like, well, I guess Half-Life Alyx, but it gets kind of scary. And if you want a good workout, I guess Beat Saber. And like, there's no, you know, if someone's like, I bought a PS4, you could be like, oh, try Persona and God of War and The Last of Us.
Well, VR is like a whole different, it's like a whole platform with a whole range of experiences. So I'd say it's more equivalent to saying, hey, I've just bought a dinner table, what food should I eat on it?
I guess that's true. Or I got a Blu-ray player, what should I get? Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a dinner table. What would you, if someone said, I got a dinner table, what should I eat on it? What would you say?
I'd say, my ass. You should eat my ass on that dinner table.
Is it a load-bearing dinner table?
Well, let's hope. Wesley Thomas gives $5 Canadian and says, why do they have a Game of the Year awards when they don't make good games anymore? Ooh, check out Edgemaster over here. They still make good games. They just don't nominate the right ones, Wesley Thomas.
They nominate some of the right ones.
Pay attention to something other than mainstream AAA review circles.
Yeah, also, Elden Ring is a very good game. And it got a lot of nominations. And Elden Ring is just, Elden Ring's wonderful.
You know how I always complain when people say, oh, this is an objectively good game?
Mm-hmm.
That's what Elden Ring feels like to me. It is an objectively good game. It might not be a subjectively good game.
Yeah.
But there you go.
There you go. I like it.
I mean, for sheer effort alone, it's an objectively good game. Dylan Kuntz again. Christ, we can't get rid of you. Gives $9.99 and says, I just started looking into past Game Awards shows. When do you guys think the last time any of the awarded games genuinely deserved the award they got and weren't just stroking off the developers?
I'm going to say... I think It Takes Two, arguably.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Breath of the Wild. Yeah. Yeah.
It Takes Two probably deserved the recognition there.
Yeah, of all the ones we talked about at the top of the show, Dragon Age was the only one that like truly stuck out to me as strange, because the rest of the games, like... Even if they weren't my cup of tea, like Sekiro, I fucking could not get into that loop. But like, hell yeah, give FromSoft an award. Cool by me. So yeah, I don't think they like. I think the Game Awards has gotten it right more often than like the Oscars have. I think there's more examples of the Oscars completely shitting the bed on movies.
Remember when The Artist won Best Picture?
God, it doesn't even have voices. Get that out of here.
Do you even remember what The Artist is?
Black and white, it was French, and I don't give a shit about it.
There you go. Mark Devis gives £4.49 and says, shout out for Road Warden, a text-based RPG, came out this year, similar to Disco Elysium and Citizen Sleeper. Well written, Yahtzee might like it. Okay.
I literally have not even heard of Road Warden.
Yeah, me neither. Rest of my year's booked up anyway.
Yeah, you got too much Sonic on your plate.
I'm past. I'm starting God of War this afternoon.
I've
played Sonic Frontiers to completion, and by crikey, do I have opinions.
Can you say if you cried? Like, did you get emotional when you saved Knuckles from his cyber prison?
I was in floods, just not of tears.
I think we have a member. Yeah, from Rob Mace. Yeah, oh, do you have the member ones? Okay.
Yeah, I'm onto I've managed to get to the bit of the super chats where I can go back to the actual chat window now.
Wunderbar.
Rob Mace, a member for 6 months in early access, says, unrelated, Ryan Stiles or Colin Mochrie? I'd go for Ryan Stiles because I prefer the taller gentleman.
Who are they?
Recurring contestants on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Gotcha.
There you go. Is that show still going out? Because that was
it. Is acquaintance of mine is on it. She used to write for Game Informer and is now a podcaster and writer for. She has like an anime and a video game podcast, but she's on it. Yeah,
and she performs
occasionally, and she'll randomly just like tweet like, "I'm going to be on it."
Yeah. And she performs on Whose Line, eh?
Occasionally, yeah.
Prongs. Member for 18 months in early access says, thanks for all the content over the years, man. You're welcome, Prongs.
Thank you, Prongs.
Spectable gives $2 and says, why is no one paying attention to Potionomics? Nobody gave a tongue bath to your personal favorite game, Spectable.
What's Potionomics? Is that a game?
I assume. Is that like... No, it's a different game, isn't it? There's like a game that came out fairly recently that's something potions.
There's like an alchemy game or some shit like that. I don't know.
I was thinking of Potion Permit. Potionomics is a different thing.
Gotcha. Potionomics looks vaguely weeby. You inherit your uncle's potion shop with a huge. It just kind of looks like Stardew Valley, but it's a potioner.
It's a shop. It's a shop management game.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. There's a lot of those. Andy Inako gives $5 and says, stretch goal, affordable universal healthcare where you get to choose your doctor, or maybe a live stream or something. Either or, really. Well, that's not really our purview, Andy Inako, but we'll be sure to write to our members of Congress.
And your $5 will help that.
Yes. I'll pay for a stamp. I almost said write to my MP there, but then I remembered I don't live in Britain.
Isn't true.
Indie Butt gives $1.99 and says, trying out a city name, what do you think? Well, it's no Dixienormous, Indie Butt.
Yeah, it's pretty good, though. Like, it is no Dixienormous, though.
Or fill my ass up, yeah.
Yeah, just a couple of legends.
It's not even a pun. You just put the word butt in there.
Also, Nick just said...
Oh, it is a pun, actually. I just got it. In the butt.
Oh, that works.
Indie butt. Yeah, I wasn't that. See, Dixie Normus and Fill My Ass Up, that just provokes an immediate visceral reaction in the way Indie Butt does not.
Yeah. Also, Indie Butt just sounds like shitty indie games. Yeah. Like, we should just do a weekly show called Indie Butt. Like, we play this indie game, we didn't like it.
Indie Butt. Actually, that's a great idea. Thanks for the idea, Indie Butt. We could run it alongside Weeb Shit. How about that?
Also in the chat, Cody Oliver says, "Hey Marty, your camera focus is fucky." My camera focus seems fine to me. Also, fucky is a very funny term to me. F-U-C-K-Y. You can't just say fucky.
You can say fucky.
Is my camera focus fucky?
It's a nice, convenient adjective form.
But not if someone's like troubleshooting. You can't be like, my computer is acting all fucky. Like, I'm not going to know. What does that mean?
It's like saying something's sucky. You understand the meaning of the word sucky, right?
I do.
So it's just that.
Really funny.
It's just that, but with fuck. Anyway, John Connor gives $5 Canadian says, surprised Grounded didn't get up there for multiplayer or anything. Thought it was a fresh concept that was executed really well. Well, maybe its mistake was to be in early access for too long. Sort of lost all its buzz.
Yeah, it was in early access for
a very
long
time. No pun intended.
Are there bees in that game?
I assume there's every other insect.
Yeah, it's like a backyard.
Yeah. Gantoris, also animal insects besides bees make buzzing noises. Like
that's
buzz.
True. That's true. That was like buzz system-y. I'm sorry.
Gantoris, member for 6 months in early access, says Game Awards are a trailer focused sham. They sure are.
I'm excited to
see
the
that would have had more impact if you'd posted it literally anywhere else, I think, Gantoris.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir here.
Yeah. The definition of preaching to the choir, if anything. Snake in the Garden gives €5. I'm just distracted because I left Potionomix on like its Steam page in the background, and actually I kind of like the visual style it's going for there.
What if that $2 donation ends up getting you over the edge to play Potionomix?
Well, I was thinking of trying out Potions Permit because I just wanted something to dick around with on the laptop.
Nick, put Potionomics in our Steam account.
Anyway.
Thank you, Nick.
Where was I?
Snake in the Garden.
I was able to dick around in Iron Lung on the laptop, but that was really short, so now I need another thing.
Yeah.
Snake in the Garden gives €5 and says, cozy games rarely captured besides the BAFTAs, only action indies. The awards definitely focused more on traditional action games in general. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that is a really good point.
I mentioned in Extra Punctuation a while back that cozy games feel like the next big thing. Do you think they need a new
nomination? Yeah, I guess what was the last cozy game to... Would you say Spiritfarer was a cozy game?
Yeah. But more recently, there's been Disney Dreamlight Valley. So there was Bear and Breakfast, My Time at Portia. That got a sequel. There's a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, Harvestella just came out. Rachel said in the chat, which I think everyone kind of slept on because it just plurped out.
There should be another nomination for that sort of thing. Stick Hard Space Shipbreaker in there as well for, you know, just... turn your brain off, cozy podcast listening to games.
Yeah. Yeah, Unpacking last year, Toem.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're never going to get noms in this sort of thing because they're not, you know, they're not flamboyant and noticeable enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say they, you know, just on a purely by-the-hour basis, something like Stardew Valley probably gets like a million times the playtime of something like God of War.
Yeah.
Everyone's got like 1,000 hours dicking around time on it. Prongs comes back with $4.99 and says, do you have plans to review Moonbreaker, Subnautica developer and author Brandon Sanderson? That's the first I've heard of it, to be honest.
It's, I believe it's in early access, and it's like, it's a game where you like build your own little like tabletop RPG models, I think. We did I think Frost did a stream of it somewhat recently. It's like a tactics game where you build your little models. Okay. It's in early access, so I don't think you have to worry about it for a while.
Yeah, I don't play early access. Cedar Gior gives $4.99, says, I understand why the FF Pixel remasters didn't get nominated, but they deserve recognition for their soundtracks. Absolutely gorgeous. Okay.
Our soundtracks were from 30 years ago.
Were they?
Final Fantasy. Like, that's like saying Final Fantasy VI deserves best music of the year.
They didn't remaster the soundtracks for the remasters?
I mean, do you think a remastered soundtrack deserves...
Well, it depends how much they remastered it, best music of the year? They remastered it with, like, an orchestra and made it a million times more elaborate.
I mean, I guess Final Fantasy VII Remake, I thought, had an amazing soundtrack, and that was, like, ostensibly remastered and retweaked and retooled Final Fantasy VII music, so...
There you go.
Yeah.
Captain Loin, $5, says Dragon Age Inquisition beating Shadow of Mordor, Dark Souls 2, Hearthstone, and Bayonetta 2 in 2014 still feels like an awkward backroom compromise.
Also, none of those games winning feel like... if those are the five nominees, that was like a weird year.
Yeah, I remember that being a weird year, because Shadow of Mordor ended up being my game of the year from that year.
Yeah.
And any other year, it probably wouldn't have gotten that accolade.
Yeah, Dark Souls 2 was a pretty polarizing game and remains.
It's the weird redheaded stepchild of the Dark Souls franchise.
Yeah. It's funny because of those five games, probably the one with the longest legacy is Hearthstone, if only because it helped birth this deck building, kind of burgeoning deck building subgenre with stuff like Slay the Spire and Monster Train and even Marvel Snap now.
Well, they'd probably stick it in the best live service category these days.
Yeah.
Whatever that one is these days, whatever they're calling it. Best online game.
Ongoing game.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Spode Razor gives $5 and says, first time catching one live feels good, man. If you had to create your own category for the awards, what would you choose? Best game that didn't get any noms anywhere else.
But then if it gets nominated, does it...
Best game where it's hard to pin down what specific thing it's good about it.
I kind of like Cozy Game.
Cozy Game?
Honestly, I like best Cozy Game. Best feel-good. Best feel-good game.
Nicest feelings coming out of the game.
Nicest game? What's the nicest game? What do you think the nicest game of the year has been so far? I think Stray was a nice game.
Well, a few years back, Spiritfarer would have been a shoe-in.
Oh, that was such a nice game. Oh, incredibly nice game.
Just a nice, pleasant game where nice things happen and everything's fine.
Sometimes we just best nice game. I like that.
Probably one of the many, many farming simulators.
Yes.
I haven't played Harvestella. I remember there was like a bit of buzz on that a while back. Did that turn out good?
I think it got kind of middling reviews. Square is just really spreading themselves thin, just doing a whole lot, which I feel like pump the brakes.
Well, at least
fewer games.
Well, at least they're not being like Rocksteady. At least they're putting shit out.
At least they are making games. This is true. A short hike. Stake of the Garden, a short hike would be a perfect game for nicest game. That game's very nice.
Just nice.
Kirby, extremely nice.
Very nice indeed. Maybe Hard Space Shipbreaker.
There you go. Nice.
Although, you know, there's some harrowing plot elements, but in the end it all turns out nice.
It's all nice. Yeah.
Cedar Guiar, member for 6 months in early access, uses their member chat to say, is it a load-bearing table? Is so funny. A+. There you go.
A little
round of applause for your little
joke. Aw, a little pat on the back for a joke about eating ass on a table.
Hunter Roge gives $10 and says, honestly, really only played Elden Ring as far as newer stuff goes. Nothing really to add, but here's $10 anyway. Always appreciated, Hunter Roge.
Congrats for playing Elden Ring, because that game rules.
Well, it's not really an achievement. You don't really congratulate someone for doing that. I mean,
it's all congratulations like
for participating in the thing everyone else participated in.
Exactly.
Excuse me.
Well done.
Cody450 gives $2. It says, Bad Dad the Game 2 is less than maidenless cheek clapping. So that's God of War 2 less than Elden Ring there.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I feel like most games we played this year have bad dads. Like Elden Ring has some bad fathers in it.
Well, you got to assume if there's any assholes around, a bad dad was involved.
Yeah, this is true. I guess. Yeah, we don't know a lot about a Plague Tale's dad. Well, I think he was in the first game, maybe.
He was a good dad, but then he got like killed off in the first 5 minutes.
Well, good dad was
survived. Bad in the sense that he doesn't smell very nice anymore.
This.
Anyway, Alex English, member for 6 months in early access, says, Yati Marty with like at symbols next to them, like their Twitter handles, although they aren't. What is your game of the year? Well, you'll have to wait for the Year Zero Punctuation Awards for that. Although it's going to be tough. Because, you know, I don't feel right giving it to Elden Ring because I'd never finished it and I'm not sure how I feel about it in, like, retrospect. Mm. By the end of it, I don't think I was having fun with it.
Then don't give it something else.
I will, probably.
Give the Neon White. That has a beach. That has a beach episode.
It's possible that Neon White will get it. Who knows?
Is it possible Sonic gets it?
That I would not consider a high possibility.
We see the review on Wednesday, it's possible still.
Okay. Maybe I've just been like deliberately wrong-footing you this whole time. And it's
48 hours of possibility. This is going to be a great 2 days.
Well, a week, because it's Bayonetta 3 first.
Oh my god, this is going to be a great 9 days. Oh, what a time to be alive.
And then it's only 1 day. Ghost, welcome to Early Access.
Thank you, Ghost.
Dick Earthquake gives $4.99 and says, yeah, since you try a lot of weird games, did you try Growing Your Grandpa? No, I didn't try that one. Actually.
Is the game is called Growing Your Grandpa?
Yeah, name rings a bell. But,
the game I feel like a game called Growing Your Grandpa could be nice.
Yeah, well, anything grandpa adjacent is probably nice.
Game doesn't look... Nope, game's definitely not nice.
Oh, okay.
Game is 100% not nice. It's Cronenberg-inspired point-and-click adventure. This is terrifying. This is the opposite of nice.
That doesn't sound nice at all.
Yeah, this would be... They could also be not nice. Like, Scorn would be the not nice game of the year.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's a lot of things, but it's certainly not nice. The dogmatic director gives $2 and says, heard about Faith the Unholy Trinity.
I'm just Googling a lot of games. No, I don't know that. Is that just about religion?
Yeah, that's like a retro-style indie horror stuff.
Mm.
I think I remember seeing videos of it back when it was just on itch.io.
It just released in full release like a few weeks ago in October.
It's concept horror stuff, like Iron Lung, I think.
Gotcha. Oh, it looks spooky.
Oh, blimey, they keep coming in. Toffee's never going to get his walk.
Toffee.
Cat Monolima gives $5 and says, I got here on time for once, but I don't have much to say this time since the newest games I played were from the last month of last year. Well, thanks for wasting everyone's time, Cat Monolima.
Thank you so much, Cat Monolima.
John Connor gives $5 Canadian and says, enjoyed side quests. Is the next one going to be different members because of the deaths due to the wild incident?
John Connor. You didn't have to read it out. The idea of side quests is this is not like a campaign with these four characters. Side quest is a thing that's going to be various side quests in the realm. So maybe we'll see a side quest with some of the characters from Time's Quest. Maybe we'll see them with some of the characters from the main crew. Maybe there'll be new folks playing new characters or old folks playing new characters. Who knows?
Who knows? More importantly, the main quest returns for members at least from Saturday.
That doesn't have to be the more importantly.
Well, it kind of is because it's the main quest as opposed to the side quest.
Yeah, it is the crew that raised several $1,000s to fly to Milwaukee. Yeah, I agree.
It is by definition more important.
You don't have to say it like that.
Admittedly, we didn't get a fancy rap song at the end.
How many raps did you have? You got zero raps.
I mean, we don't really have any rappers in the party. I could do a rendition of My Way if it matters to people.
That'll be the next stretch goal. Yahtzee does My Way for the end of season 3.
Phil My Ass Up gives 50 Norwegian kroner. Good to see you, Phil My Ass Up. We were talking about you earlier. Speak of the devil, I suppose. Be that the G... For a minute there, I thought that meant Georgia. I've been following the fucking midterms news.
Yeah.
Could it be that the Game Awards gives the GA, Games Awards, gives indie games the time of day because they have to? The show feels very artificial. You only just picked up on that, did you, Fill My Ass Up? Well, I'm going to imitate your YouTube avatar now. Great job. Picking up on that.
I don't think it's artificial because I think there is genuinely love for some of those indie games. However, I do feel like they always have to be like, all right, well, we're going to do 4 big boy games and then 2 small boy games.
Yeah, and they've got to have some buzz and they can't be pixel art games.
Mm-hmm. Also, you missed Snake in the Garden's €2 donation prior to
Shit! Film. Maybe best short game to encourage innovation. Maybe.
I would like best game under 2 hours. I could fuck with that.
Mm. Ghoul Hunter Connor Smith gives €5 and says, do you guys think it's fair for console exclusives to win Game of the Year?
Yes.
Well, I don't see why not. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, maybe you're bitter because you couldn't afford a PS5, but it doesn't affect the fact that it's a game and it does things.
Also, like, that means no Nintendo game ever could win Game of the Year.
Yeah, there you go.
Nintendo has made several Games of the Year.
Colin Zissins gives $10 Canadian and says, are the Game Awards TM the de facto Oscars for games? Yes, they are. I remember back in the day when a game would have a claim for winning XX Game of the Year awards. Is that not a thing anymore?
It's definitely still a thing. Well, it was because they'll have Game of the Year editions of anything.
It was more a thing when there weren't so many different media outlets. Like PC format Game of the Year actually meant something. It's a graphic on your books.
Yeah.
But now everyone gives out awards. There's not much point.
I mean, it's also funny because like a month ago, Ubisoft released the Far Cry 6 Game of the Year edition.
Who the fuck gave Far Cry 6 Game of the Year?
I don't think anybody did. And if they did, we need to sit them down and talk about them and say, hey, you did
maybe,
that.
Maybe the Far Cry 6, maybe the Far Cry Wiki gave Far Cry 6 Game of the Year.
The Ubi blog.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
But, you know, what does being given Game of the Year by any news outlet mean anything?
It means anything.
Besides mine.
That's his, if his Sonic isn't on it, it's fucking moot. Moot.
Devinson gave us $4.99 and says, was curious if you guys had any suggestions for small or not very talked about games that would be worth playing. Well, check to the right place, Devinson.
Yeah, we did an episode a couple weeks ago. How long ago was that? I'm gonna find the link to it and I'm gonna give it to you and you're gonna watch it and it's gonna be great.
Yeah.
That sounded like a threat. That wasn't a threat.
Play Iron Lung. If you like your actual concept horror stuff.
Play Iron Lung. Where the fuck is this playlist? How do I find this show?
Well, while you look for that, Richard Wells gives $5 and says, did you try Teardown? Great to see someone pushing voxel-based design and destruction physics if it didn't set my graphics card on fire. I reviewed Teardown, Richard Wells, as you'd know if you were a serious fan.
Wow. Fake fanboy.
There you go.
Here is the link. Obscure indie games from 2022 we'd recommend. Boom.
There you go.
That's like 90 minutes of us gibbing and gabbing.
Although we talk shit about Game Awards coming out while there's still big games coming out. We did like a rundown of indie games even earlier than the Game Awards.
That's true.
Did their Game of the Year.
That's true, like a month ago.
But we'll probably have another rundown.
It's fine.
When it's the actual end of the year.
We're not important.
We just wanted to acknowledge indie season before all the big AAA started coming out. Exactly. Oh, here we go. One more. Surge of Cinder gives £5 and says, we haven't heard anything from Dylan Cunts in a while. Do we know if he's okay? Well, let's hope he checks in another 9 or 10 times just to be sure.
Dylan, I hope you're doing well, and I hope you have a great upcoming Thanksgiving holiday.
Ooh, almost forgot. Right.
That's next week. It's not this week.
That's the end of the Super Chats, and that'll be the end of Slightly Something Else. But if you like looking at my face and Marty's face, stick around, because later today it'll be the third of our 5 Pulsar Lost Colony streams with Jack Packard. Assuming he's feeling up to it.
I think so.
So tune in for that at 1:30 Pacific time. I feel like we're really... the Biscuit Boys are really hitting their stride when it comes to space adventures there.
We're figuring things out. We're understanding more about the ship, understanding more about ourselves. It's going to be great.
It's going to be like one of us is going to give a Picard speech before the end of this.
I feel like it's probably going to be you.
Well, I've probably got the closest voice.
I think so. And you don't have the nasally Midwest accent, Gustu.
What else we got coming up this week?
Hoo doggy. Later today, we'll have Hidden Gems with Jesse and Casey, half an hour after we finish up Pulsar. Tomorrow, we'll have the recap, which should probably just be Darren and I, but we'll be talking about Wakanda Forever, the new Black Panther movie, as well as our thoughts on Andor. We're gonna have all sorts of stuff. Nick is probably not gonna be streaming the next few days because his desktop is currently being fixed because it was very loud. So we're going to figure that out. But we should be back. Yeah, we'll have Breakout. We'll have more Metal Gear streams, probably more God of War streams. Everything will be great.
Loud desktops usually means there's a loose component somewhere. I used to have one that was loud, but if you kept pressing your hand against the side, then it stopped making so much noise. So I'd just like stack up a bunch of books or something.
There you go. That doesn't seem like a permanent fix, now that I think about it. And then you said Thursday, or Wednesday is going to be your CP on Bayonetta.
Yes, Wednesday is Zero Punctuation on Bayonetta 3 and the post-CP stream, of course. And after that, on Thursday, I have an extra punctuation dropping publicly that is currently only available to members.
Hmm. Yeah. And then, like you said, the main crew, Adventures Nigh, season 2, episode 11, will be up for members on Saturday.
The long-awaited return to the cliffhanger we left it on.
Exactly. Should have a weeb shit video essay later in the week. Frost is working on his next episode of Cold Take. First episode did great, over 50,000 views for a video that you had nothing to do with, which is wonderful.
Crazy. People just on YouTube just really respond well to people whose voices sound nice.
His voice sounds very nice, I will say.
But I appreciated that video because it had very funny writing as well. So
it was great. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. His second script is super funny too.
If you like my stuff, you'll probably like Frost's stuff.
Absolutely.
Alrighty. That'll be it from us, I think. So we'll see you all later for some Pulsar. And until then... Toffee is going to get excited for his walk. Boing, boing, boing. Excited, excited, excited. Boing,
oh,
boing,
he's boing. Boinging.
Excited
he's
for
boinging.
My walk.
Boing, boing, boing. See you guys in 2 hours.
Bye.